Take out your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah chapter 4. In Nehemiah chapter 4, that's in the Old Testament, and so it is good to be in the Old Testament and building. So we're going to talk a little bit about Nehemiah and the purpose of making war. I pray that you have been making war. Anybody has been praying more or fasting more or seeking God more. That's our heart and our intent here at Hope Community Church. And so we pray that you are doing that in Jesus' name. Are you there? Nehemiah chapter 4. Can I get an amen? Nehemiah chapter 4. And so this has been a time. This feels like, you know, that we're going 5 months into what has been the difference maker in all of our lives across the world. 5 months on the 15th, and that becomes this week. 5 months is a long time to do anything. Can I get an amen? Like, if you're working out that 5 months, or if you're eating healthy, 5 months is hard to eat healthy because it's at that time, right? Like, you're all of a sudden you're craving pizza or you're craving chocolate. And so, you know, and so at 5 months, it gets to be difficult. And 5 months of quarantine can get to you. I don't know about you, but for me, I am a doer by nature. I love to do. And in fact, I have to like stop being Martha and start being Mary. And God has convicted me of that in quarantine. And these times have been rough. It's imperative, though, even during these times, that we fight. Everybody say fight. It is imperative that we pray. It is imperative that we fast. Last week we talked about, Pastor Ted talked about resisting temptation. It is imperative that we don't give in to the temptation that is before us during these times. For us personally, it seems at times we have been barely able to catch a break. That might be for you financially or physically. We have heard of more physical sickness and illness, more than just COVID. We have heard of depression and discouragement. We have heard of addiction. We have heard of overdoses because of addiction. We have heard of suicide because of depression. And so these times, we have heard of elderly like that are so isolated and alone that they are passing away or are dysfunctional, because this is not how we were meant to be. As believers, you were meant to fight. I love a good fight. My little son was picking a fight with me yesterday. I don't know why. He said, "Mom, you want to fight?" My son's little. He's 60 pounds. He's 13. And so I said, "I'll squash you and I'll win. I'll win. I like to win. I like to win every game. If we are playing a game of like charades, I'm going to win. If we are playing a game of dominoes, I'm getting ready to beat you all. And I like to win against the enemy. I don't know about you, but I like to win. I don't want the enemy to win. I don't want him to look back at my grave and they say, "Oh, but the enemy won." The idea of fighting is to fight until the end. And that means until the last breath of our lives, we are to fight. And today we're going to talk about fighting for your family. God gave me this word, and I believe that there are all kinds of different people in the room today. I speak to single mothers who are here, and you are raising kids on your own. We're going to tell you how to fight for your family. I know that there are some grandparents in the room who are raising kids, their kids' kids, when they shouldn't have to, yet you are called, even during those times, to fight for your family. I speak to singles today, and you're like, "I don't even have kids or a family," but you might be getting some, or you might be acquiring some, or you might think, "How do I fight for my family?" And that might not even be your own personal kids. You might be fighting for a mom or a sister or an aunt. I speak to some young people in the building today, you're by yourself today, and you are praying for your family to come to church and they don't come to church. And you are praying for your family to serve God and they don't serve God. And today I would tell you to fight for your family. I know there's some moms in the room that are trying to get their kids back. I want you to know today to fight for your family. There are some divorced mothers and fathers who are in the room, and you only get your kids part of the time. And the other time, they are subjected to whatever it is that goes on in that house. And when they come back to you, it seems like they're all corrupt and dysfunctional. Today, you need to fight for your family. I speak to married families who are unable to have kids, and the biggest desire of your heart is to have a family. Fight for your family. I'm speaking to parents today, and their kids are all grown, and their grown kids don't follow Jesus. Fight for your family. I speak to married families who have kids, and they drive you crazy, and you have two teenagers and two little bitties, and they are going nutso after 5 months of quarantine. That's speaking to myself. Fight for your family. No matter what group you are in today, no matter where you come from or walk of life, if you don't have a family, we get to be your family. Fight for us. You get engrafted into the family of God. So no matter who you are, the home, the family is under the attack in the 21st century. I don't know if you've noticed that, but there is more corruption and dysfunctionality in the family than what I've ever known in my 42 years of living. The enemy wants to make your family miserable. So even if you have a family, you might be like, my family is miserable. I don't even like going home to my family. And still we are to fight for our family. Now this is a costly commitment. This will cost you something. I learned that in 5 months of quarantine for the 2 months from March until May, we were sort of inside of our house. And they told us, stay home. So we stayed home. And they told us, do whatever you want. So we did whatever we want. You know, we had a Netflix subscription. I'm not against Netflix. I'm just saying that we watched Netflix. My kids, they are gamers by nature, I guess, because they're not mine or Ted's, because we don't game. And so they would game. And I'm talking about 6 and 7 hours a day of just losing ourselves inside of a corrupt world system. And May 15th happens, and we're able to open businesses and open church for real. And I realized we had not been fighting for our family. And God has called us, and it costs something, because it means that you're going to have to get off of what you're on and attend to the people that God has entrusted you with. And for my family, that's 4 kids that God has entrusted me to. I'm not talking about marriages today. We're going to talk about fighting for your marriage another week. This is about fighting for your family. You better be committed to you, because it's going to run you around the ringer. You better be committed and say, I am going to war for my family. There's almost a spirit of fear I find these days in parenting. A lot of parents I talk to was like, I don't know if my kids will serve the Lord when they're 18, or I don't know if my kids will serve the Lord through college, or I don't know if my kids will serve the Lord. And we have to fight, and we must fight in faith. Everybody say faith. So we must fight in faith, not in fear. And so we have a slide for that. We must fight in faith and not in fear. So if you're writing notes today, we must parent. Everybody say parent. We must parent in faith and not in fear. And this changed my perspective. I was fighting and parenting out of fear. I wonder if this is going to happen. I wonder if my kids are going to do this. I wonder if they won't serve the Lord. But God has called us to parent in faith. My kids will serve the Lord. My kids will honor God. I might not see it right now. They might be running through a river of rebellion in their lives. They might have jumped in. They might be swimming in the river. They might be drowning in the river. But my God says that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It says train up a child in the way that they go. And I'm talking about training. So you're talking about commitment. And you begin to train your kids. And I'm not saying I have perfect kids. In fact, it was a troublesome thing to preach this message because I don't have perfect kids. And we've only had kids for 4 years. But I'm looking at the greats, my mom and dad who went before me. And I'm looking at people in our church that their kids are serving God. I look at Dr. Tony Evans and he's and his kids like Priscilla Shira and Anthony Evans and those kids that serve and honor the Lord and live for Jesus all their lives. We are going to fight. Everybody say fight for your family. So Nehemiah chapter 4 in verse 13, it says this. And then Nehemiah, if you don't know, he's building a wall. There was the Ezra and Nehemiah are sort of two connected books together. That's why you see Ezra and Nehemiah right next door to each other. It's a time when the captives are coming to rebuild. And so underneath Ezra and Nehemiah and a Zerubbabel, they rebuild the community. They rebuild the church. And Nehemiah is assigned the task of rebuilding the wall and fighting again and making war for the thing that God told him he would have. And it says in verse 13, it says, so in the lowest part of the space behind the wall in open place and stationed the people by their clans. Everybody say clans. Now that's an interesting word because it just means families. Everybody say families. So he, Nehemiah, was intentional in positioning together people by their families because he had the whole community, but then he separated it according to their families. And it says they positioned themselves with their sword, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people. Now here's what Nehemiah says. Do not be afraid of them. Everybody say, do not be afraid. So do not be afraid of them. He says, remember. Everybody say, remember. You remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And then he says something so profound. And I want to, like, if you're a highlighter or you take notes or you're underlining and you got a pen somewhere, underline this. It says, and fight. Everybody say fight. And fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons. And fight for your daughters. And fight for your wives. And fight for your homes. And so there is an imperative. It's declaring you are going to fight. Everybody say, I'm going to fight. And I love this. He says, fight for your brothers. I think we should fight for our brothers in the Lord. You begin to fight for them. I'm not talking against them. You are fighting for. That's different. If you're fighting against them, you're talking about them and slandering them and gossiping about them and being bitter towards them. That's not the God we serve. The God we serve says, because I am your brother or your sister in Christ, I am going to fight for you. I'm going to fight. I'm going to stand in that. Look where he puts them in clans and family with their sword and their spears and their bows. And he looks at them and he puts them behind the wall and he says, you go ahead and you fight. You fight for your brother. You fight for your sons. You fight. This is a fight. This is a fight that you were in. This is a war. The enemy wants your kids. He wants your grandkids. He wants your legacy. He wants everything that's coming behind you to reflect him and not to reflect the Lord. And today, we are called to fight for our families, to fight for your home. If you see something go on, you get up and you fight. Now, keep on reading. Because it's interesting as the verses progress. It says, when our enemies heard it. Now the enemy hears. When you start fighting, the enemy hears. He's coming with more attacks. You ever did that? You started fighting? You started praying more? You started fasting more? You started believing God for your kid? And what happens? Your kids get crazier instead of better. Your kids start wilding out instead of listening to the word of the Lord. Why? Because as much as you are fighting for your brother, sister, family, wife, and everybody else, the enemy heard. Everybody say, the enemy hears. The enemy hears when you pick up the battle cry. And so it doesn't say to stop. It says to make more war, to fight more for your family. So it says, when our enemies hear that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plans. If you're underlining, underline that. God will frustrate the plans when you begin to fight of the enemy over your kid's life. If God has a plan and a purpose for your kids, your grandkids, your legacy, so does the enemy. And what you need to have happen is that God will frustrate the plan of the enemy over your kid's life. And that is not my, I can help, I can encourage, I can shout, cheer, fast for you, but you have to fight. You have to get into the battle and say, I am going to fight because I want the plans of the enemy to be frustrated over my family. And so it says this, it says, when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, it says, we all returned to the wall. They didn't stop. They didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I'll quit fighting. Oh, you came against my family hard, I'm out. No, they said, we returned to the wall, each to his own work. From that day on, half of the servants worked on construction and half held the spears. They held the shields, the bows, and the coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building the wall. So someone is even standing behind them. If your family is going crazy, get a brother or sister in Christ to stand behind you for your family. Whenever I've had enough, Ted comes and stands behind me. When I've had enough and me and Ted have had enough, I call my mom and she stands behind me for my family. And if that's not enough, I'm calling my people to stand behind me because I'm going to fight for my family. And I might get weary and I might get tired, and I might have said the same thing thousands of times to my kid, but I'm going to sit there and I'm going to fight. Keep on reading. It says, and the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried the burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand. He held his weapon with the other, and each of the builders had his sword stopped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was behind me, and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great, and it's widely spread, and we are separated. I know that that's no good for separation. It says far from one another. It says in the place when you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there, and our God. Every say, our God. Now turn it and make it personal. Say, my God. When you fight for your family, your brother, your son, your daughter, you fight for your wife and your home, here's what God will do. It says, our God will fight for us. So God, when you pick up the weapon and you begin to fight for your family, your brother, your sister, your wife, your sister, your cousin, your auntie, whomever it is that you are fighting for, when you do that and you are stable and you are committed and you are faithful, here's what God does. He says, I will fight for you. That's what I need. I need God to fight for my family because I don't even know how to do this in my own strength. But your family is worth fighting for. You must fight for your family. Fight for your son. Fight for your daughter because Satan is on a rampage. And Satan can't destroy the church without destroying the family. And so he's attacking the family union. And what you need to do is fight so that God comes and fights for us. Think of Noah. You remember Noah in the Old Testament? He had an ark. He built it for like a lot of years, and I think it was out of gopher wood. At the end, whenever everybody else is drowning in their sin, here's what Noah does. He puts himself and his wife and his what on the ark? His family. And then not only that, it says in Hebrews that Noah was the last one to enter the ark, meaning this, that he was concerned about his family being on the ark. So he got his three sons and their wives, shuts them in the ark, and Noah says, not only that, I'm going to be last. I'm going to fight for my family. And you remember Joshua, man of God, right? The whole book of Joshua is really about him. It says this in Joshua. It says in Joshua 24, verse 2, and Joshua said unto all the people of Israel, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You stand. You fight. Joshua stood and said, this is the declaration over my family. I might not see it. I might not be around for it, but I am going to declare that over my family. Think of Job. Job is one of the first books of the Bible written. It's sort of out of order. And so Job in chapter 1, he has a family. He has, I think, 10 kids and a wife. And every day or continuously throughout the week, he would offer a sacrifice and he would offer a burnt offering, which means he had to kill an animal, put it on the sacrifice for his people. And you know who he did that for? His family. He said, God, I want you to make sure that they're righteous. I want to make sure that they're in right standing. So Job continuously said, I am going to fight for my family. And then there's Obed-Edom in the Old Testament. You might not remember him, but he was in charge. One point, he took in the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, into his house and into his family. You know that Obed-Edom's kids and grandkids, because of the presence of the Lord being in his house, that they all served the Lord. That's the legacy I want. I don't want money. I don't want a better house. I don't want a better car. I mean, those are good things. I want a family who serves the Lord. I want to be in a place in 10 and 20 years that my kids speak better than me, know the word better than me, pray better than me, honor the Lord. That's my heart. My heart for my kids is that they would be a greater example of who Jesus is, that they would love better than me, that they would love their neighbor better than I do. That's my heart. And Obed-Edom was fighting for his family. So you say to some demons, you say over wrong relationships, your kids get in a wrong relationship, you start praying. You don't allow the enemy to win. That's your job, is to fight. If you see your kid in addiction, and those are different, and we're like constantly, I don't even know what that looks like, but if you see your kid in addiction, you begin to lift up that addiction to the Lord. You begin to cry out. If you see your kid being passive or lazy, you put your hand on them, not, you know, whipping, but, you know, whatever. And so then you begin to fight for the Lord, and you say to the enemy, lay your hand off my family. You pray and you fast. How many times in 4 years can I pray and fast for my kids? Over and over again, I pray. Sometimes God will speak a specific kid and say, you need to fast for that kid. You need to stand in war for that kid. And the whole day, I could be praying for everything else, but my concentration is praying for that kid in that situation, pleading the blood of Jesus over their life. God will fight for you. I'm not going to let video games. I'm not going to let hell. I'm not going to let Hollywood. I'm not going to be getting a bigger education or friends or culture raise my children. My job as a mom and as a wife and as a family unit, whatever that looks like for you, your job is to fight for your family. And a lot of people have quit fighting. I see this all the time because I'm a youth pastor, and I see families who are Christian who have quit fighting for their family. And so you're going to stay in their business. You're going to stay in your kid's business. Every youth kid right now hates me for telling you this. And they're going to say, when is it Wednesday night? Why, Miss Tara, you told my mom or my dad or my auntie to get in their business. Check their phones. I mean, that's just biblical. It's not in the Bible, but check their phones. That's not their phone. That's your phone. You pay for that. And so you pay for that phone, and you can take that phone away. And that can be indefinitely until they're 25, 1,000 years old. And if they're connected, and I'm not even saying they're doing bad, though they could be. And so because they're sneakier and they know electronics better than I do. And so they will download some app, and some of these apps are crazy. And so I'm going to go there because Snapchat is built in such a way that you cannot see the message that your kids have on that phone. So immediately, whatever they posted is gone in 3 seconds, and you can never see parents. So you better make sure that you're okay with that. And so And I, you know, at what age are you okay with that? Now, I'm not saying this is Bible, but for us, our kids don't have a phone before ninth grade. And the only reason why they have it in ninth grade is because they go to a high school and they have stuff. And here we are, your kids hate me and they're like giving me death stares right now. But I'm good. I'm good because I'm going to fight for my family. I'm going to fight. You know, there's another app inside of Snapchat. It's called YOLO, Y-O-L-O. Check their phone. And so you check their phone. That Snapchat is, it's you don't even know who it is or what they're talking. And then there are groups inside of that that they can go into rooms and do whatever in the world they want. And you think your kid is okay, but your kids are not okay. I don't care how godly they are. I don't care how much they read the word and lift their hands in worship. There is an enemy that is attacking through these electronics and through this media. And I'm saying fight for your family. Just fight for them. Just say, that's not going to be in my house. And I don't care if you don't like me. I wasn't called to be your best friend. I was called to be your mother. And so I'm going to mother you well. And when you get older and you decide what you want to do, you stand before God and you report to him. But as for right now, when you are 10 and 12 and 15 and 17, if you are under my house, if you are under my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Put safeguards on those phones. Check up on their friends. Are those friends good? One of my kids is always attracted to bad friends all the time, every single time. I check up on that. I am the annoying mother of his life. I don't care. I'm going to represent Jesus. I'm going to stay in their lives because my kids are worth fighting for. Your kids are worth fighting for. Someone said before 15 years old, kids will do what you tell them. I don't even know if that's true anymore. Maybe. They said after 15, kids will do what you show them. So you're looking at your family, and if you aren't doing it, so if you are always on media and apps and not following the Lord and not showing up to church and whatever it is, I'm just picking. And so whatever those things are, the kids, whenever you tell them to stop at 8, typically they'll stop. When you tell them at 15 to stop, they say, but you do the very same thing. See, that was always a thing in my family. My grandmother, she smoked. And I remember her going into her house and she was always smoking. And so I would always, and when I was young, Grandma, why you smoke? I remember throwing her cigarettes down the toilet and flushing them. She would get mad at me and like, you know, psh, you know, like just a little bit. And so, you know, if you're older, you got whooped. I got whooped. And so anyway, I am good. And so here I am. And I just remember, you know, like if there was something inside of me, and my grandma would always tell me this, Tara, don't smoke. I was like, but you smoke. So this is so interesting. Now, my parents led a godly example, and I knew that I would lose my life if I ever smoked in my parents' house. I knew that I would lose my life if anything crazy ever happened. So I was scared of God and fearful of the Lord, yes, but I was really scared of my parents. I still am. I'm 42, and I'm nervous when I get around them because they want me to. They're fighting for me. I remember when I was a kid, I was in high school. I was in the River of Rebellion, and I was in ninth grade. That was a bad year for me. And I remember we had cows. My neighbor, Mr. Bob, is here. He probably hates our cows. And we had cows. And so every morning we would have to feed our cows before school. I went to South Terrebonne. And we would feed our cows. And I would wake up at like 5:45 in the morning to go feed our cows and our chickens and our roosters and our ducks and everything else. And I remember my dad worked in the oil field at a place called, I think, Santa Fe. And every morning in high school, when I would wake up in ninth grade in my River of Rebellion, my father would be on his knees on a sofa praying for an hour. Every day I saw him, I would get up and I would be dating dumb boys and doing stupid things, and my heart was flighting towards other things, and I truly wasn't saved, and I truly wasn't filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And every morning that I would wake up, my dad would fight for me. It was so convicting because I knew I was in a river of rebellion, but I saw my father on his knees fighting for his family. And after my ninth grade year, I go to a camp, and that's when I give my life to the Lord. I believe I am here today because my daddy fought for me in prayer. that he said, I'm not going to stop. He was aware of the distractions. He was aware of the psychotic boy that I had allowed in my life. He was aware of the things and the purposes that had pulled me away from God. And what is pulling your family away from the purposes of God? What is distracting you? What is pulling your family away? I have six things. If you're writing six things, I think they're in your notes. But here's some things that you can look at and say, this is what we're going to do. Number one, everybody say number one, find you and your family in the house of God. Find your family. If you have kids, now I know if you have adult kids, you can't do this, but find yourself in the house of the Lord. If your kids are asking you, are we going to church this morning? That is the wrong question. There's never a time that my kids say, Mom, are we going to church on Sunday? Because the expectation is we are going to church on Sunday. There is never a time my kid says, are we going to church Wednesday night? I don't care if I wasn't the pastor. I would be in the house of the Lord. Why? I'm fighting for my family. Maybe my youth pastor can speak into my kids because I surely can't. I am the youth pastor. Maybe a young person can speak into my kids because I surely can't. So you find yourself in the house of the Lord. Number two, everybody say number two. Be involved in the house of the Lord. So that's different, right? Because you can just come and attend, but if you want to fight for your family, do something in the house of the Lord. Do maybe be an usher, a greeter, a kids' church worker. You show up at prayer and praise. You make an extra effort. If there's a women's conference, I'm at it. If there's something going on in the house of the Lord, I'm going to be there because I am fighting for my family. And if I have kids, which I do, they are coming with me because I'm going to be involved. Number three, everybody say number three. Find yourself and your family discussing the things of the Lord in your house. Everybody say in your house. That's different. So we take home whatever we've learned on Sunday, and what did you learn? What did you learn in kids' church? What are the things that are happening in your life? For us, we're reading a book, Tramp for the Lord by Corey Ten Boom. Every night we read a chapter and we discuss what happened in her life. And then my little kid decided, Mylin, she said, I'm going to be Corey Ten Boom. I said, why don't you be Mylin Dedevo and live for the Lord. We'll just work on that. But she's inspired by a woman of God who lived for God. Why? Because we're taking time. This quarantine, we had them do Bible studies for us. It was something. It was different, but it was them talking on the Word of God. So we talk. Number four, everybody say number four, be consistent. Be consistent. So just, you know, discipline consistently. Show up consistently. If you say this is what's going to happen to you, you're going to be grounded for a week, ground them for 1 week. Don't do 4 days. Don't do, 2 days and now I'm tired. No, you be consistent. My parents were consistent discipliners. So if that's the consequence, that's the consequence. Now, don't say something so crazy that you can't do it. You're going to be punished for 5,000 years. That's ridiculous. So do something specific. You're going to be punished for, you know, and make it towards whatever the problem was. You know, you can't say, well, you did this, so now you got to scrub my car, you know, for 500 times. Do it with what the actual crime was. Does that make sense? So if they are struggling with looking at stuff on their phone, then of course the phone is mine. And then that's for a determined amount of time. And then we sit down and we talk about it and we discuss it. But be consistent in your discipline. Number five, display actively what you are saying. So that means you have to do what you were saying. So if you're saying we're spending too much screen time, that's we. And that's going to hurt. My husband and I, we hate when we punish our kids because you know who it's punishing? Us. You know who can't look at their phone? Us. You know who can't do whatever in the world they want to? Us. And so whenever you punish and whenever you say, hey, I'm displaying this actively, now I got to find 20,000 things for my kids to do. You don't just say it, you display it. And then number six, what am I on? Five or six, pray and fast. If you have nothing else to do in your life and you are looking at yourself, you say, I don't even know what to do, then I would say that is a good time to lift that kid up in prayer and to lift that person up and fasting. If you're going to fight for your brother, your sister, your mom, your auntie, your wife, do these things and say, hey, I'm going to fight for you. If you would play the synth, and I have two pairs of shoes. There's a story that Jetson Franklin tells, and it's so powerful. And I'm going to start here These shoes are on sale at the thrift store for $2.50. Shameless plug. And there was a man, and he was an alcoholic. And every day before work, he lived in Chicago. It had freshly snowed. But every day before work, he would go to the bar and get a drink. And then he would show up at work. And of course, after, he would get really, really drunk and come home. He did this for months and years and days, like a lot of time in his life. Of course, his wife is always nagging him and harping at him and saying, you need to stop because your kids are watching. And it was true. Well, one day in winter, after a fresh snow in Chicago, he goes to the bar and he jumps in, grabs a drink, and he's coming out of the bar and he sees his six-year-old kid. Now, it's interesting because of the snow, and we don't know about snow, but in snow, you can follow footsteps. You know that? And so in the footstep, his little kid had snuck out of the house. The wife didn't know. And the kid was following the footsteps of his dad. And every time his dad had made a step to the bar, that little footprint from the kid was right behind it. And he saw a path of his child leading right to the bar, the same, very same place that he had been. So he grabs his kid in his arms, and you can't fuss a six-year-old for that because they're just following you. So he takes his kid home and brings him to his wife. And he said, as he's walking out the house to go to work, he fell on his knees before the Lord. And he said, God, I ask for forgiveness, because I have not been fighting for my family. It says he fell on his knees and he repented. And he said, if my kids are going to follow me, let them follow me to the throne room of God. Our children are watching. Remember that old song? I don't know if you remember that song. It was a kids' church song. It was like, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you do. Be careful, little eyes. But I think, as I think on that song, that was really a song for us. Be careful, little big eyes, what you see, because little eyes are following. Be careful, big mouth, what you say, because big mouths are following. Be careful, big feet, where you go, because little feet are following. It is time that we rise up and fight for our family. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? If you want to join in the war this morning, no matter what place you are in life, single mom, grandmother raising kids, your kids are out of the house, but they're in a river of rebellion. No matter what place you're sitting here and you are struggling with your family, I want to say to you, it is worth fighting for. These are your legacy. These are yours that God has entrusted your family, your sister, your brother, your wife, your husband, whatever it is. Those are the people that God has given you, and he says, fight for them. Just like in Nehemiah, he says, fight for them. And when you do, God says, I will fight for your family. And he'll stir up a holy commotion. He'll stir up some things so that the enemy does not win. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for myself. I want to fight for my family. I knew I was going to preach this message like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and my family is like so tired of this, because I was like, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for you. I'm not fighting against you. I'm fighting for you. I'm fighting for my family. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to fast. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to show up in the house of the Lord. I'm going to get involved at the house of God. I'm going to do the things that I am called to, because if you choose the river of rebellion, it will be you. It will not be me. Today, would you just pray with me? I know there's people in the room, and we need to fight again. We need to fight for our families. Would you just lift your hand, no matter who you are? If you're a young person in the room and your family does not come to church, would you fight for them? It is worth fighting for your mom, your dad. It is worth fighting for your cousin, your auntie, your grandmother. We'll stand with you. I mean, Pastor Ted and myself, we will fight with you. If you're fighting for your family, young people, we will take that to the throne room of God and believe that God will change your family. We're going to fight for them this morning. God, you see our hands lifted. God, all of us in the room have family, and that looks so different and it's so unique. But God, it is worth fighting for. God, our families are worth fighting for. It is worth being consistent for, worth being faithful for. God, worth getting up in the morning and spending some time on our knees for. It is worth giving up and fasting for. God, these are the things that you are concerned about. God, your Bible says to love our family and to make war for them. I pray, God, that you will give us a Holy Spirit power from on high to be like what Nehemiah said, and we will raise up our weapons and our spears and our bows. We will claim the word of God over their life. We will pray and fast for them, God, and we will not stop, God. When we see the enemy, we pray that you will frustrate the plan of the enemy over our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids. God, I pray that we will be like Obed-Edom, and when we invite the presence of the Lord into our house, God, that our generations that are coming behind us will serve you faithfully, that they will honor the Lord all the days of their life. And God, we are praying for those that do not. God, help us to parent in faith, not in fear, not if what if or what will happen, but God, that we will parent in faith and say, God, at this moment in our lives, we are believing God for our families. God, we stand in the gap and we pray. God, we lift them up. And God, not just at this moment in time, but when we walk out the room and tomorrow morning and Wednesday night and Thursday afternoon, God, we are going to fight for our families. God, we know that you will help us and you will fight for us. And so we thank you. We do our part, God, so we trust that you do yours, because you're always faithful. Even when we're faithless, God, you're faithful to our family. So we pray for that. We pray for our covering over families here at Hope Community Church. And God, they will be God-honoring families. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Would you give him some praise? When you walk out the doors this morning, go and fight for your family and believe that God will fight for you. Hey, if these shoes, you like these shoes, they're for sale at Hope Treasures. I'm just joking. I need this for next at 11 o'clock. We love you guys. Go and have a good day. And we'll see you Wednesday at 6:30 as you fight for your family in Jesus' name.